Well, we're going to do it. Am I on, by the way, with this one? No. Can I just use this one? It's too much for me. If you looked in your bulletin this morning as you came, you saw an insert. Did you? That's why I was wondering if you brought them up with you. No? Okay. Anyway, they put it on the wall too. How about that? I didn't know it was going to be on the wall. Good for you. Thank you. But we're going to do this reading together. The first candle of Advent is lit, and I'll start out as the leader, and then y'all can be y'all. Okay? And we'll read this together. The first candle of Advent, the candle of hope, is lit. The world is hoping for many things: peace, prosperity, health. Real hope is found only in the child born in Bethlehem, Christ Jesus, Emmanuel. He is the hope everlasting. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. We thank you this morning, our Heavenly Father, for that precious gift of hope we have in Jesus Christ, our everlasting Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me this morning as we sing this song, Let's Just Praise the Lord? I think it goes all seasons, doesn't it? Amen. Doesn't that call you to praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Christmas season, aren't we? And for everybody, it's not always a fun time for some. They've had loss they think about. But we think about Christ being born, don't we? The Savior is here to save us, to help us through all these situations and trials and struggles that we go through. And I think prayer is a very important part of that. Whether you pray at home or in your car or where it may be, I think it's important for us to know. I know an old guy in Newark. His name is Chuck, and I've been working with him for years. We'd go to the junkyard and get parts for missionaries and fix their cars for free, that kind of stuff. And he works with New Tribes Mission. I think he's 91 or 92 now. And he'll have an issue come up, and I'll just say, I'm praying for you, Chuck. And he goes, prayer's the answer. That's what he always says, no matter what the situation, he always says, prayer's the answer. And I think that's true, isn't it? Prayer's the answer. God's the only way we're going to get through, to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to give us strength, whatever it may be. That's the only way you make it, isn't it? Is that prayer is the answer. And so this morning we'll be praying for any requests that you may have this morning. So if you have requests, let us know. We can all pray as a group, right? Where two or more are gathered, he's in our midst. And so we pray for those things, whether we pray for them out loud or not, doesn't matter. But that we mention them and we hear them, and that God knows that they're out there. So anybody have any requests this morning?
I'm having a test tomorrow, and I just ask for your prayers. God's answered those prayers for the last 5 years, and right now I'm cancer-free, so I'm just praying that this is a good test tomorrow.
And this is Peggy Luke. If you don't know Peggy Luke, it's Peggy Luke, and she's not lukewarm either, so.
I just want you to remember my sister in prayer who lost her husband a week ago, and she's been married for 66 years, and it's going to be a loss for her, and the first Christmas she'll have for everything. And just pray for her and her family, and also pray for me that I can help her out and talk to her. And I wasn't able to get home to the funeral, but I just need your prayer for me, and a special need too. And I have several unspoken requests that I asked for, too.
So Bob McAvoy's sister and the family. Anybody else?
As all of you know, that my surgery is coming up December 7th. And since July, when my shoulder went out, it's been a long time, and I've been in a lot of pain, but it comes and goes, the pain does. But I have a fear of going through this, and I know that fear is from the devil. It's not from God. And I know I'm a Christian, and I know I shouldn't feel this way. But over the weekend, this person, she said she feared things in her life also. And she said fear, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And it struck me right in the forehead when she said that. And I thought, that's exactly how I've been feeling, because I'm not a fearful person. I trust in God, and I know he's going to take care of me and my family. But because it's been so long, this surgery coming and the pain, I just ask for your prayers to God to strengthen me and my family. Thank you.
Our son Nathan has been struggling quite a bit with his marriage. He's the one in the Marines I told you about last week or the week before. And he went back home for a couple weeks. Things seemed to be good, but now they're not. And, you know, I know it's Satan. He's working in this marriage to break it up. So please pray for Nathan and Leslie that the Lord would become visible more to them, that they would lean on him more, and together realize that they're serving the Lord and they're teaching their children. That's the biggest thing, their lives, what's going on. They're passing it on to them if it's good or bad. So again, just remember Nathan, it's pretty urgent. He's not home again. He's living away in a hotel that he has to pay for on his base, $100 a day. So please just keep him in your prayers, because he's talking divorce, and he even mentioned suicide, that he could tell why. And I just can't lose another son to that, because suicide is devastating. I would say it's probably worse than any kind of death that you could possibly imagine to go through. And my son's not talking about it himself, but he just said, I know how some soldiers in their lives, because their families don't appreciate them and what they do. And he said, I'm not talking about me, Mom, but I think he was. He just didn't want me to worry. So just keep him in your prayers, please.
My sister called me 2 days ago, and her granddaughter is staying to be a doctor, but she's starting to have some severe pain, and they've run all kinds of tests. They're going to do a liver biopsy this week coming up, and I told her we'd pray for her. Her name's Megan, so just remember Megan.
I don't see Steve. Yeah, he's here. Steve Utsi back here is having a lot of pain in his leg, and the doctors are having a hard time finding where that is. So just lift him up in prayer and for his healing.
So I would like you to lift up my nephew. His name is Tim, and he turned 17 in a couple of days. So I was talking to my brother yesterday at the Thanksgiving party, and he has gotten in with the wrong crowd, And he's a great kid. He got baptized about a year and a half ago and lots of plans for the future. And now he wants to do things that these guys are doing so he can fit in with them, which are not good things. So for Tim and for his parents, too, as they try to work through this.
No way. So we just pray you'd be with these requests, Lord. Be with us this Christmas season, as we know that Christ is the reason. It's not about gifts. It's not about games. It's not about anything else, Lord. It's about you and about salvation. So we pray that you'll give us an opportunity to share with family and friends about what Christ means to us, about the peace and the joy and the hope that he has for each one of us, Lord, as we trust in him. So God, I just pray this morning you would guide us and direct us. Just speak to us this morning, Lord, through your word, through the music. And just help us, Lord, as we're fellowshipping together as a group, as a body, as the church, that we function together, Lord, as each part comes together to make this service glorifying to you in your name. And we thank you in your name. Amen.
In whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life.
My hope is in the
Oh,
think I'm on now. Okay, yeah, okay, thank you. I don't know if anybody paid any attention to it, but the pastor and I stayed true to our schools. I'm not really scarlet and gray, but I'm wearing a reddish color and a gray. Did you notice the pastor there kind of looks like a blue one? I think he did that on purpose, subvertly. But, yeah, bless his heart. You know what that means down south, don't you? When you say, bless your heart, bless your heart. Anyway, it's good to be here. I'm going to try to say something of some value. So if you're able to glean anything out of this, we'll give the Lord the praise. If you're not, blame it on me. But anyway, well, you noticed we had our candle lit when you came in this morning. I'm going to speak starting a little bit just about Advent. The first candle we call the candle of hope. We do it in this particular congregation. You may have heard it called other things in your growing up and going to churches at different places. Some people call it the candle of prophecy. Some people call it the candle of expectation of hope. Another call it the prophet's candle. So we use the term hope. But you need not worry about the different names. They all refer to the same time, the time when the world and all of God's people knew of the coming of the Messiah and that he was coming. It is said that at least 351 Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, his Son. The hope of the world, the truth of prophecy, the expectation of this wonderful promise given by God through the prophets is all descriptive. Now, there's also some other candles we use. I'm not going to speak, but just briefly of the different names of what they are. You notice along the wall there, Everett has really very nicely placed the different banners that also give the candles their name that we use. But the candle of joy is also called the candle of promise. It's a proclamation of joy, and some of you may have heard it called, I skipped one, didn't I? I'm sorry. Mary's candle. The candle of peace is also called the preparation of peace or the shepherd's candle. The candle of love is sometimes called the revelation of peace or Joseph's candle. And of course, the white candle in the middle is always the Christ candle. The colors of the candle may vary also. You may have seen some of these. We use a purple candle. Some people use a blue candle. You know, the center candle is always white. The joy candle or Mary's candle is typically rose, always in color. So don't worry about the variance in the colors either, because they mean very little difference. If you're like most of me, or like most like me, most of you may have attended a church that wasn't real high church or liturgical. Now, some of you may have. You may come from a high church background or, say, a Catholic background or a Lutheran background or one of the churches that practice a lot of liturgy. And they have, you know, you've been used to the Advent season or the Lenten season or these different traditions that they use in the church as they prepare for the different events that are very important to us. The Advent season is not a biblically given commandment, but it was established by the church so that people would prepare themselves for the wonderful event and keep in mind why that event happened, that Jesus Christ came there in Bethlehem. So the Advent candles are for us to prepare every week. We're coming, we're looking, it's like growing the expectation. We now have a beginning of the season, And as we go through the season, we grow in expectation of what this season means to us and grow in knowledge of what this season means to us. The Advent normally starts, it's again the fourth Sunday before Christmas. We celebrate it and commemorate it. Some people, they use Advent calendars. Those are okay. Those are fine. Advent candies, they're all fine. Nothing is wrong when you consider the Advent if your ideal of expressing the Advent is I'm preparing my mind, I'm remembering what this season is all about. It is a method by which our church fathers instituted for us to follow, opening our hearts, our mind, and our soul to again receive the glorious promise, joy to the world, the Lord is come. That's what Advent is about. So as you think about why do we do this, you know, what is the purpose of this? It's just not to decorate our church and make our church more beautiful. It does that. But it's also to get our hearts ready and prepared each week for the message or for the coming of the Messiah, the remembrance. The first candle on this subject is what we're going to talk about today, and that is the candle of hope. Sometimes it feels as if we live in a world that has lost hope, doesn't it? Have you ever felt that way? There are things going bad, your health is poor, or your relationship or some relationship you're in is not doing so well, is going sour. Your job is the pits. Your finances, well, they're not so good. And you felt like if they were selling Big Macs for a dollar, you'd still have to go hungry. You know? Sometimes you feel really bad. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! We all have it, don't we? That deep, dark depression that comes on us and that brings us down. On the other hand, some of the world has its own brand of hope. I mean, there are people out there that aren't gloomy. Recently, many people purchased a lottery ticket, hoping to win $2 billion. You know, there was a big lottery, I guess, I don't even know where it state it's out of, but a lot of people bought that lottery ticket. It got up to $2 billion, and a lot of people had a lot of hope that they would buy that one ticket that somebody got that won that. I had to change this one yesterday. Many of us hoped our football team would be victorious. I had on that yesterday, many hoped their team, but now I've changed to our team would be victorious. That was a hope we had. Children, they're organizing their hopes for what they might receive for Christmas. They're thinking about what they might get in their stocking, what they might put on their Christmas list. They're being very good at this time of year. You are being good at this time of year, aren't you? So, you know, some people, they have it, but they're hoping for what they might. Young girls, they have what they fill their hope chest with items they hope to use in their future home. Some of you hope I'll be finished soon. I hear an amen, Larry. But the hope that we have expressed by lighting this candle today is a different kind of hope. It's the kind of hope of, it's the hope of salvation. It's the hope of victory over sin. The hope of victory over death, and the victory over hopelessness itself. And I would like to spend a few moments of the morning looking at the prophet Jeremiah and what he proclaimed. Jeremiah proclaimed in chapter 33, verses 15, or excuse me, 14 through 16 is what I'm going to read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And in this name by which she will be called, the Lord of our righteousness. Heavenly Father, as we read these words, help us to express the thoughts that we believe were given to us so that we can share in the joy and the hope of Christ coming to us. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know what you know about the time of Jeremiah, but it wasn't a very wonderful time to be a part of the kingdom of Judah. The Lord promised both the northern and the kingdom in this particular verse. If you look, he said the house of Israel and the house of Judah. You may or may not be aware at that time, Israel was divided. The upper kingdom, and actually at this time, had already been conquered. The southern kingdom would soon be conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The promise that even so, even with all this that was happening, that there would be a descendant of David rise up, which we know to be Christ Jesus, that is why the genealogies in Matthew and Luke are so relevant. Both of the Joseph's lineage, Joseph and Mary's lineage, are in bring us back to David. And I don't know if you've ever paid attention to that, but as you look at your New Testament, you begin to read all these genealogies. And you think, why are these genealogies here? Kind of boring. Such and so begot this person and they begot them. But if you will be very cautious in reading those, you will see that one is Mary's, one is Joseph's, and they bring back that Jesus, both parents, the mother and the stepfather, you might say, were from the lineage of David, making this a very true prophecy. But then it goes on and it says, so we know that Jesus came, fulfilling that first part of the prophecy, but then we say the second part of the prophecy that says, and he shall execute judgments and righteousness upon the earth. Well, Jesus is not rightly doing that right now. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's intercessing for us. But we do know that there will be another time that Jesus comes back to this earth. There'll be a second time that Jesus comes back to this earth. And he will execute righteousness and judgment that's set upon the throne. Then I want to bring you back to verse 16, which is something I just it says, the Lord our righteousness. And that's getting back to Jesus Christ. Not you, not I, not one anybody in this room ever has been or will ever be righteous on our own. We are lost people. We are people in this earth without hope. When sin entered into the world, man was without hope. But because Jesus entered into this world and gave himself for us, we now have hope. We now have his righteousness to cover our unrighteousness. That's a wonderful verse. He is our Lord of our righteousness. No one of us has a right to declare our own righteousness. But through Jesus Christ, because he came, because he was who he was, we now can claim his righteousness. If we're going to make it through heaven, it's not because anything we did, it is because what he did. If we wear a robe of white, it's not because we cleaned it, it's because he cleaned it. Now,
getting back to the conditions the prophet lived in at that time. Jeremiah prophesied from about 626 B.C. to 587 B.C. He lived in a land when Jerusalem and Judah had turned from God. They were going their own ways, following other gods, offering their children to burn offerings to Baal, living in immorality, lust, idolatry. The people had forgotten and were not serving God. Sounds pretty much like today in a lot of ways, doesn't it? Jeremiah was basically preaching alone God's wrath of Jerusalem, the destruction of the city and the temple, and the famines and the captivity was laid ahead. He was constantly persecuted by those who declared victory for Jerusalem, prosperity. This continued until the Babylonian king conquered and destroyed the nation, making captives of all the people. This was the Jeremiah's time, not a time of great hope. And although the nation was in a fallen state, Jeremiah had a hope not found in the world situation, not in wealth, health, or position. It was a hope in the God who had promised the one would come and save the people, to renew the nation and bring righteousness to the land. Basically, it was Jeremiah against the government, the prophet, or the other people. Yet while he wept for his people, he had hope in the one that was yet come to deliver. So Jeremiah lived in a time much like we live in. But he had hope in what was beyond. He was going to see his people destroyed. He cried. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was looking at a time when his nation had turned completely from God. He was looking at a time where they were worshiping. They were even offering their children. And I've said this before, and some people may not like the comparison, but I don't know there's too much difference between offering your children as a burnt sacrifice to Baal than offering your children to an abortion clinic. I don't see a whole lot of difference. But it's happening, you know. And he lived in these times, and he preached, and he said, we're going to be delivered. Now, I'd like to take a look at the Gospel of John real quick and see what John might have to say about this. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what was Jerusalem like in John's time. Well, Jerusalem was a conquered country. Jerusalem was controlled by the Roman Empire. It was governed by the puppets of Rome, with Roman soldiers watching over the interests of Rome, taxes being collected, and order being kept by the Roman soldiers and the way they keep order. And it wasn't very nice. You talk about brutality. There was a brutal people. They kept order for the peace of Rome, and it didn't necessarily mean it was going to be decent. It was just going to be orderly, and it was going to be what Rome would have it to be. The temple priests had developed a working relationship with the government, which allowed them to control the goings-on in the Jewish sector of that country. So let's read what he writes during this period of time, what John writes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word... Excuse me. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Probably don't hear these verses in conjunction with Advent very much. But what I wanted to share with this is Jesus, the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was Creator. He is God. You could say, you know, it's through the eons of eternity past. That's a long time. We think about, you know, Jesus. We think about Christmas. We think about 2,000 or so years ago. But Jesus was with God eons before eternity. I mean, when did God begin? That's when Jesus was. When did God begin? When did God, we know when he created what we have, but when did he begin? When will he end? This is the Savior that came. This is Jesus from eternity past was present in the flesh. That's the miraculous, wonderful thing. God came down from heaven, who was eons in the past and forever in the future, came down from heaven in human flesh that you and I might receive his righteousness, might receive his glory. Otherwise, we were people without any hope. But he came down giving us hope. He was bearing witness of God so that those who receive him, such as he was, as such as he is, he gives the right to become the children of God and inherit eternity to come. And what a hope that is. What a hope we have in Christ. Nobody has that kind of hope except the Christian. Nobody has. And the wonderful thing was, it says, he came to flesh. His own didn't receive him. Basically, we're talking about the Jewish leaders. They did not receive him at that time. They didn't. They will one day. They didn't then. But to those that did receive him, and that includes you and I, to those that did receive him, to them he gave the right to be children of God and enjoy his inheritance. I don't know about you, but I don't know many other promises or hopes that can be more exciting. You know, we talk about different hopes we have. You know, we talk about a hope for the cure of cancer. That would be a wonderful thing if we could cure cancer. We talk about the hope for the cure of heart diseases. Well, that would be a wonderful thing if we could cure heart diseases. But the thing about that, we can't cure them because we're people of a fallen state. And eventually this body is going to go from something. Something's going to take this natural body. Because do you know why when the man sinned, God didn't let Adam and Eve back to get a bite of that fruit that was of the tree of life? Do you know, understand why he put that guard there with the sword so that they couldn't go back and take a bite of that fruit of life? Because if they would have eaten the fruit of life, they would have been condemned to this old world forever. They'd be living in a world of sin forever. But because we pass through death, now we pass into life because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We take the step from this world to the next world. We have been given there the tree of life sits by the crystal river. There's fruit for all the nations. There is where you get your eternal life, because God has promised it, that it sits there waiting for those that believe in him, and the eternal life is in heaven, a much more place than this old world. You know, there are some that used to preach. I had, 144,000 go to heaven, and then the rest of them got stuck here on the earth. And I was, oh my, what a pitiful thing to be stuck here on the earth. You know, we do know there'll be a day when God makes a new heaven and a new earth. That'll be different. I believe in that. But this old world's not someplace you want to live forever. Could you imagine the amount of sin compounding and compounding and compounding and compounding? But for the grace of God through Jesus Christ giving us hope, changing the lives of men, being the perfect sacrifice that could pay the penalty, that would give men the hope of the release of the bondage of sin, because there was no other hope. No other way to get free from sin. The sacrifices were temporal. They couldn't do it. But the hope of Jesus Christ being the perfect sacrifice was able to do it. I think of the song, the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The one verse there, it says, and where meek souls will, in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enter in. You know? If we have a soul that is willing to receive, that's what I'm talking about, making Advent personal. Advent is a beautiful season of the year. It's fun to, you know, to see all the different decorations. It's beautiful to light the candles. It's even, you know, to sing the Christmas carols. But unless you make it personal, unless you're one that receives it, unless you're one that believes it, that hope does not transfer to you. It doesn't transfer to you. It's available. You can have it. You know, I'll give you an example of how the gentleman I have breakfast with, I go to coffee with him, period, over to McDonald's. One of the gentlemen bought everybody a coffee cup for Veterans Day. And he came in and said, here's a coffee cup. It's yours. Here's a coffee cup. It's yours. And you know what we all wanted to do? I didn't want to, but I ended up doing it anyway because everybody else did. Paid for that thing. It was a gift. But we turned around and wouldn't accept it. We paid for it, thinking we had to know, this is a gift. We can't pay for it. Christ paid the price. All we can do is receive it. It's receivable, but not purchasable. We can't put no amount of money in the offering. We can't put any amount of effort into doing good. We can only accept Jesus Christ, who he was, God, the God that came down in flesh to be Emmanuel, God with us, to not release us from the political strife, not to release us from, though he did heal people, it wasn't so that people would never get sick. The reason he came was so that the sin problem could be cured and we could become children of God. So what is our hope? It's in the fulfillment from Isaiah, such as we read in the Advent reading this morning. It's in the fulfillment of Jeremiah. It's in fulfillment of the other 350-some prophecies that speak of Jesus Christ. It's in the fulfillment of John 1. Jesus came in the flesh to bring us the light, the truth, the face of God, that anyone who would receive, what's the Bible in a nutshell? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus' hope is. That's the hope we have in Jesus, that we should not perish, but have life everlasting. As we look at the situation of this world, it's easy to give up hope. It is. Talk about it. It's sometimes people give up hope. And different things, sometimes tragedy happens. The world is suffering. There's drought and there's fires. There's financially, we hear the difficulties. There's political unrest. They're constantly seeking peace, but we only find conflict in this world. There are viruses complicating our lives with all kinds of different physical infirmities. But what can we do? We need to keep looking up. Our hope is beyond this world. Our hope is knowing God is. So many people don't know who God is and even exists. God is. Our hope is understanding God made us. Our hope is understanding God came to the world in the form of His Son Jesus to restore us. Our hope is believing in Jesus. Our hope is in His sacrifice, the Word, enabled us to become children of God. We don't have hope in sin, but hope in the forgiveness of sin. There is not hope from affliction, but hope in affliction. We don't have hope that keeps us from the trials of life, but we have hope in the trials of life. We don't have hope from death, but we have hope over death. Christ is God's promise to walk through this world with us, guide us, and make us His own if we will receive Him. Do you have that hope? Have you made Advent personal? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive your sins? Do you believe who He was and what He did? You can. You need to know personally, and also, it's not only, I guess, you need, I have to study my notes here a little bit, you know there is an Advent yet to come. You know, Jesus came the first time, and he gave Himself as a sacrifice. But just like the verse there in Jeremiah said, there'll be a time He comes and sets His throne up. There'll be a time He comes again and sets His throne up. And that is our hope today when we think of Jesus coming, is the day of His return. So I'm going to leave you with some verses that I pulled out from the New Testament, one from the Old, but these are verses on hope. 1 Peter, therefore, with mind set that I alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Christ Jesus is revealed at His coming. He's talking about the second coming. In Galatians, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He's our hope of glory. He's our only hope of righteousness, to Jesus. Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. Hebrews, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who is promised is faithful. And then Isaiah, but to those who hope in the Lord, He will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What I'd like to say to you is, soar like an eagle this Advent season. Let the hope of this season make you understand this is a time when we celebrate God came to be with us that we might be with him for eternity. I thank you so much. God bless you.
Stand with me this morning. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me. Carry out what he's called us to do this week. He is our hope, as Pastor has said this morning. He's the God that can carry out that hope and spread that hope. If we just have hope in ourselves, that's just us. God.